ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. फर्स्ट् आफ् आल् ऐ आफर् मे नमस्कार् टु मै स्पिरिचुवल् मास्टर् बै हूस् ग्रेस् ऐ वास् ब्राट् औट् आफ् द डार्क्नेस् आफ़् इग्नोरेन्स् अण्ड् एन्लैटन्ड् वित् विस्डम् आफ़् द स्क्रिप्चर्स्. And also, I thank all the organizers for giving us an opportunity to present this topic on servant leadership, especially Mr. Anil Tomre, Pune Management Mantri, Pune Mahanagari Mantri, and Dr. Sharad Krishnachandra Goswami, President of ABVP Pune Mahanagar, and all other organizers of this event. My sincere thanks to you on behalf of ISKCON New Vedic Cultural Center, Pune, which is in Kathraj Kondwa Road. And this is a very beautiful topic, especially for those students who are blossoming leaders and leaders of the future. So the topic of servant leadership is a very wonderful one. So the first few slides, I will show you certain principles, and then that's only going to be for 10-12 minutes. After that, I will get into 8 qualities of a servant leader, which actually will give you very concrete plans, concrete ideas on how every one of us can cultivate those 8 qualities of a effective servant leader. So these are all both based on the scriptures as well as by all the management gurus across the globe have studied different systems all across the world, and they have come up with most powerful and effective tools to become a servant leader. So we have heard about leadership, but what is the servant leadership? You may wonder. Leader, generally people think when I graduate from the college, I go to a company, and then when I am given a position, I just take control of the situation. And I have some people given to me, and I get the work done from them. Basically, push them or drive them, wake up the lazy ones and make them do the work. That's the general thought most people have about leadership. Actually, therefore, the topic of servant leadership, which is being adopted in most of the leading, very successful MNCs across the globe now, is very valuable for all of us to understand. Because the servant leadership is all about the attitude of the leader, how he approaches the people given to him, and how he gets the tasks done in a way by which he produces a great influence without exercising authority. So that type of influence you can only exercise if one is a man of character. So we will see what is that very soon. The first slide here, you will see here, I put some quotes here. The essence of great leadership is influence, not authority. So authority means I use my power, I use my position to get something done. For example, a father sees that his small kid is at home, and he has many toys with him. The neighborhood child is coming. The child is requesting, can you please give me a toy? And this child is not giving. He says, no, I can't give you. These are all my toys. But the father wants to teach a value to the child. Share and enjoy. Why do you want to hold everything to yourself? You have 10 toys with you. Why don't you give one to the neighborhood child? The father is asking the boy, why don't you give one to your friend? The boy says, no, I won't give. And the father says, you have so many. By giving one, you don't lose much, isn't it? But child says, no, I want all of them. He says, then the father says, see, if you give the toy, I'll give you a lollipop, mitai. Child says, no, I don't want any mitai from you. I will not give, he says. Then the father says, hey, if you don't give, you know, I will give you a good slap. Like that, he says. So here is an example of exercising one's authority without able to influence the child. Now the child says, no, I won't give. What will you do? you can't beat me either. Then he snatches one of the toys and gives it to the neighborhood child. And this fellow starts weeping and crying, waving his hands and legs. And the neighborhood child is happy, but this child is not happy. So do you think the father has taught the child the value of sharing? He hasn't taught, because that was not the correct moment to teach the sharing value to the child. Probably at another occasion, father could take him out, purchase something, and then purchase some fruits and offer it to God and then share it to the beggars. He can teach him the value of sharing at another time. So we all in our lives, when we deal with other people, how do we deal with people given to us? How do we get people to change their thought process? If we can change the thought process of people and bring about a change of heart, something great is done. So that's the topic here, influence. The essence of leadership is influence, not authority. Many companies blame that the employees are not up to the mark and they are not producing enough. So how to bring about a change in them? Because ultimately every one employee is a unit. In your AB, for example, you have so many youths all across the country. How to motivate them? How to wake them up? And how to make them commit themselves to the cause? So when you think about it, so you find that some are very enthusiastic, some are lazy. Some are very intelligent, some are less intelligent. Some are committing, some are not committing. So the sheer authority alone will not work. We also should be able to create lasting influence in them to bring about a change of heart. We will see how we will do that. See, here is another interesting point. Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. Which means, another aspect of servant leadership means, not that I just dictate to you what is to be done and you just do it. Jo bola so karo, we say like that. That's not about servant leadership. Servant leadership means, not only I teach you what is to be done, do like this, don't do like that. No, involve you. When I involve my subordinates, what is the meaning of involving? Like, for example, you have automobile. There are automobile engineers sitting with CAD CAM in the computer. They think they know everything about the automobile. But there is a fellow working under the vehicle with all grease all over his body, opening the tire, you know, opening the engine. Whom do you think knows better? The one who is working under the car or the one who is sitting in the CAD CAM computer and knowing the mechanism? The answer to this question is both. Because one knows the entirety of the car and mechanism by studying in a college in automobile engineering. He also knows very well. But the one under the car also knows quite well because he is at a point where the tire touches the ground. He knows the ground level things and one knows the theoretical things. So they should be able to blend and work together. Then it will be successful. So the leader and the followers, and they can work together. So therefore, involving means what? The CAD CAM engineer should have some amount of freedom from false ego, by which he will be willing to listen to the suggestions of the fellow working under the car. Now apply it to your group of youth, those of you boys who are going to become leaders all across the country. If you are given a group of people, are you willing to listen to their opinions? Do you respect their abilities? Or would you just dictate to them what is to be done and just clap hands and get it done? So when Lord Rama was in frontiers of India before reaching Lanka, at one time, one Rakshasa, brother of Ravana, came. His name is Vibhishan, along with four other Rakshasas. So Vibhishan requested monkeys that, please allow me to join your army, put a word to Lord Rama. So when the news was taken to Ram, Ram is the leader. So he called all the monkeys and asked, Sugriva, what's your opinion? Sugriva said, my lord, he is the enemy party. If you ask me what is to be done, catch him, bring him to ground and kill him on the spot, he said. And then the lord smiled and said, okay, that's nice. Then he asked Neela, Mahinda, he asked Angada, one by one, Hanuman, each of you, what do you think? What's your opinion? Everybody gave their own opinion. Some of them said, Lord, if you are interested in taking him, put a spy to watch him because they're all enemy people. They may any time do harm to us and all that. After hearing all of them, now all the vanaras, monkeys, asked Lord Ram, we all have spoken our opinions, but you haven't told your opinion. What is yours? And Lord Rama didn't say immediately. He just smiled. The monkeys became desperate. Now, we want to know your opinion. Please tell us. Then Lord Ram told the very famous verse. Sakrida viprapannoyam tavasmi iti yachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etat pratam mama. My dear Vanaras, my principle is anyone surrenders to me, I cannot reject them. Now this Vibhishana has come in a spirit of surrender and he is my devotee. I don't want to say no to him and turn him away. So this is my opinion. What do you all feel? Everybody nodded their head and said, your opinion is always a well thought out opinion, my lord. If you wish to have him, you can have him, they said. Now you see, he is a leader of the whole army. He heard the opinion of others. So therefore, others wanted to hear his opinion. So if I respect others' opinions and abilities, lending my ears to it, then they will be willing to listen to my opinions and they will give respect to my abilities too. So in this way, this is the meaning of involving, isn't it? Lord Rama involved the Vanaras in decision-making process. Similarly, a boss has a title, a leader has the people. Very beautiful statement, isn't it? Sometimes a boss has only a title. You go to his office outside, you will find his name with that name tag along with the, you know, the position that he holds. But what is his quality of work? How much people has he influenced? How many leaders have grown under him? A leader is one who makes multiple leaders. A leader is not one just who makes followers. A leader is one who has made tens and hundreds of leaders who can actually function in an independently thoughtful manner in their own respective places. So therefore, a leader is one, you know, he can gather the manpower very easily by having trained people to do higher and higher tasks. For example, when you all take up leadership in your own position, you will see that first a person, there are five levels of leaders. The lowest level of leader is one who can be said as a very good individual player, like a lion. Lion cannot work with other lions, but lion has to be given a separate task. He will do it. They are passionate people. And they are very hardworking people. They turn out a lot of work, but they want all the credit for themselves only. Then there are fourth level leader. He is a good team player. Like ants can work together with other ants, isn't it? Like an elephant can work well with humans, carrying the log of wood and all that. So team player means he can work with other members. That's a fourth level leader. Third level leader means he's a team leader. He can lead a group of people. Whereas fifth person can be individual player. Fourth is a team player. And the third one is a team leader. He can lead a group of 10, 12 people you give him very nicely and keep the group integrated and cohesive and take them ahead. And then there's a second level leader. He is also a team leader, but he can get the best out of even weak people also. Generally, the third level leader will only accept good people. Other people he will reject. But the second level leader can actually find out what that person whom we think we should reject him, what best could he do? What is the element of some essence of something good in him? He can engage him. He can see a spark and fan it. He can fan the spark. And the first level leader, the visionary leader. Visionary leader is one. He can make hundreds and thousands of leaders. He can give a map by following which many, many people can become very powerful leaders. So in this way, one evolves in the leadership over the years of experience and maturity. And therefore, a true boss is one who has many people with him. He's not just a talker. So true leaders don't create followers. They create leaders. I told you about this. What is the difference between follower and leader? Follower means whatever you tell, he will do that much. You tell him, take this pen and keep it here, he'll keep it, that's all. Do you want people like that? Or tomorrow, you students take up some leadership in ABVP, say in different parts of the country. Do you want them to be able to think at their own feet? At the spur of the moment? At the heat of the situation? Do you want them to be capable of solving the problem on their own? Or they are not able to reach you on phone because every small thing you have to tell them, hey, don't do that, don't do this. You want a leader like that or one who can stand on his own legs and decide. So naturally, all of you, I am sure, You would want to have thinking people, not just doing people. So for that, there are three things: knowledge, skills, values. If you give them only knowledge, bookish knowledge is theoretical. So therefore, you will see that about these three things: knowledge, skills, and values. Knowledge means to know things. Skills means to do things. And values means to be. For example, I know what is humility, for example. You all know humility. Humility means not anxious to be honored by others, not very proud about one's capabilities. That is humility, a humble person. I know theoretically what is humility. Now, to do humility means I practice humility. You know, I don't boast about myself. Like Hanuman was humble, humility. But then to be humble means it becomes an integral part of your being. You live it, you breathe it. It is a second nature for you. You will never become proud. That is the third level. So in this way, if we can inculcate values in our youth leaders, so those values will have a lasting effect and a heart transforming effect. You will see that. See, here is Nelson Mandela. He makes a very interesting statement. He says that it is better to lead from behind and to put others in front, especially when you celebrate victory. When nice things occur, you take the front line when there is danger. Then people will appreciate your leadership. I really appreciated this statement. Yeah, you all know our some years ago, probably, when Dr. Kalam once wrote an article in Indian Express, I got to read it. Something interesting he said about a leader. He said he had one leader when he was doing this rocket launch and all that, way back in 1970s. He's a scientist, you all know, Dr. Kalam. So he was working on that project of a rocket launch. I think his boss was Satish Dhiman, I think. If my memory serves me right, you know, Dhiman, Satish, yeah. So he had a boss, he's glorifying his boss like this. He says that in the 1970s, they launched the rocket, they launched it, and the rocket was a failure. It was leading to crores of rupees of loss. So the newspaper people came, and the leader actually went in the front and told the people that, I'm very sorry, our team did their best, but somehow or other, the rocket crashed and all that. And it's like a lot of people criticizing that so much money was lost and all that. A decade later, they launched another rocket. But this time, the boss told Dr. Kalam that, please, the computer program, everything should be perfect. Don't do it in a haste. And everybody worked, and the leader was fully involved also. Then it was a successful launch. Then newspaper people came, reporters. This time, the leader told Dr. Kalam that, you take the lead, along with all the members, you all can talk. But he said, but sir, you actually were very involved with us. Why don't you take lead and speak to them? He said, no. You know, I am happy that you all did very good work. You should get a chance to express yourself. So they expressed. So later on, Dr. Kalam made a statement, interesting statement. He said, a leader is one who opens his chest when people are throwing rotten tomatoes at the whole team. The team is behind him. He is opening his chest and accepting the rotten tomatoes. And leader is also one who gets a lot of bouquets, isn't it? He sticks his neck out of the window to distribute bouquets to all his team members when the team gets a success. He doesn't keep all the bouquets with himself. So this leader was such a leader. So therefore, here is an example of a leader who leads inside out, which means, you know, when success comes, he puts others in the front. When failure comes, he puts them behind and accepts the responsibility. We want such leaders. So that's so therefore, we have to lead by example, set clear boundaries. There are many points which will take time. I'm just giving you a glimpse of what a servant leader is. You have the mic with you. You can read this one, successful people.
Successful people build each other up. They motivate, inspire, and push each other. Unsuccessful people just hate, blame, and complain.
Your servant leader is not a complainer or a hater or a blamer. He always finds how to inspire people. In one situation they failed, let them succeed in another situation. How can I make things better? Do you want to make things better or you want to make things better? The choice is yours. So servant leaders are those who make things better. And when do we become bitter? When we are into BMW mode, we call it blame, mourn, wail, blaming, mourning, wailing, or ABC mode, we call it accusing, blaming, criticizing. And then the team gets nowhere. And then every member, all members get demotivated, demoralized, isn't it? So, therefore, what is servant leadership? See, there should be a stating of the goals or vision, and we should be aggressive listeners to others when others wish to give their opinions. And also telling them the truth and being trustworthy leader. And not only that, assisting the members of the team in their own development. You see, all of us in this world always ask the question, what is in it for me? So the subordinates also have their goals, which could be subordinate goals to the team's goal. So if the leader can clearly show them, see, if you make the team successful, then your goal also will be accomplished by that. And that gives the joy for the subordinates to work hard. And sustaining the hope that both organization and its people will reach their desired futures. Yeah, correct. See here, how did this term servant leadership start? It started in 1970. One gentleman named Greenleaf, in his 1932 book, Hermann Hesse had written a book called Journey to the East. You see, he's talking about Indian mysticism and the Indian literature, from where he got this idea of the servant leadership. You see, way back in 1990s, Stanford University conducted a research. They wanted to know, how are the Japanese companies booming? And why are the companies in America nosediving? What is the problem? We are producing so many MBAs from Harvard Business School, which is a very popular one. And where are we lacking? Where can we improve? So they wanted to know. So they went to Japan to see. They found one interesting thing. Like we say, behind the hands, there is skill. Behind the head, there is creativity. So they understood that Japanese companies are involving the students' creativity. And not only that, they have many values like integrity, and loyalty, cooperation, family culture, truthfulness, friendliness, and compassion, forgiveness. These kind of values were taught to them. Japanese companies are booming now. So they give 90% importance to values over skills alone. So then American companies also started giving importance to such values in the company's principle-centered leadership. They started giving more additional importance to that. So I told you, behind the hand is the skill. Behind the head is creativity. But then both in America and Japan saw, in India, things are even more booming. How in India the companies are able to get the commitment of their employees? They wanted to know. Especially they were interested in the Gurukula system. Like myself, I am Radhesham Das. I got connected to this society in 1991. So probably the last 30 years or so, I've been with this organization. We don't take a single penny. We work on behalf of Lord and the scriptures and our Guru Parampara. We go nook and corner of the world to reach out the message. So the American companies wanted to know how these disciples of the gurus in India had such a loyalty, like Aruni had a loyalty to his guru, so much so that he put his body blocking the water coming from the field for the pleasure of the guru. They wanted all the employees to work for the managers or leaders, just as the disciples in India work for their guru. How did the gurus get such commitment without paying a single penny to them? So then they understood one interesting thing. Behind the hand there is skill, behind the head there is creativity, but behind the heart there is inspiration. In this world, the most wonderful thing is inspiration. For example, if I want to bring all the ants in this compound to this room, what do you think I should do? Should I take a machine gun and go around? Do you think all the ants will come here? I just have to put some sugar particles, all the ants will come, and that is called inspiration. If people are inspired in their hearts, they will bring their hands, they'll bring their heads, they'll bring their bodies, they'll bring everything. They will have extra enthusiasm to do things. So then now the question here, then how the inspiration is awakened? They found that in India, the gurus actually taught the disciples very fundamental values of spirituality in such a manner that they woke up the people's full potential. in such a way that when a person becomes realized and he feels fulfillment in the heart, he experiences the greatest joy, which is called Anandamaya stage, then a person can do anything for the guru who is awakening such faith in him. So therefore, as you find here, he read from the book Journey to East that actually the greatest commitment comes from the people when they are inspired. And then they are motivated. Then they are joyful to perform. Then the work doesn't remain work anymore. The work becomes fun for them. Now, how to make all our team members feel work like fun and not work like work? And that is the essence of servant leadership. So, they find success and power in growth of others, he says. Greenleaf says in his book, the servant leaders find success and power. See why it's put in quote unquote? Because generally we think, I am the authority and the Chabika Gucha is in my hands, the key bunch is in my hands. I will have all the controls and they have to listen to me. This kind of idea some leaders have had, which is traditional type of leadership. Whereas the servant leadership means you delight in growing others under you. That means, you know, you don't fear that they will take over my post. You don't fear that they will climb on my head. You train them and empower them to grow as good as you or even better than you. Therefore, such leaders fearlessly make many, many leaders who can go to different places and they can do wonders. They can create a revolution in the whole world. Srila Prabhupada, who started the ISKCON Society, is one such example I can think about. Actually, he worked with the least resources, I can say. At the age of 70, he crossed the ocean with a couple of heart attacks in Jaladuta cargo ship. When he reached Boston Harbor, and then he went to New York, he told, I didn't have any money with me. I didn't have any people with me. And I was pretty old in my 70 years age. So he went to a place called Tompkinson Square Park and took a storefront there. And he went to the park where many hippies were around. One thing he found with the hippies is they have a taste for music. So he sang this Hare Krishna mantra in the park and many boys, girls joined with their instruments and they relished it, they appreciated it. Gradually their hearts became cleansed. So in this way he started the movement from the scratch. And eventually within 12 years he established 108 centers across the globe. Now we have 1,000 centers across the globe. So this old man going to the West and playing a drum in the middle of the park and speaking about Bhagavad Gita to the people. Prabhupada said, I didn't go to America as a beggar. I went to America as a giver, he said. So he said, many Indians go to America to get some dollar notes, but I went to America to give them the rich Indian culture. That was my goal. So he became extremely famous all across the globe, the way he spreaded. And he made more than 100 gurus, leaders, who are now reaching out to lakhs of people. Now, more than 3 million people they are reaching to. So why I am telling you this? He was an empowering leader. So therefore, such leaders find power in the growth of others, not only growing oneself. Sometimes we think, I will grow as a very big leader and I will keep everybody under me. Everybody will be in my control. Now, people think like that. Actually, the more we keep them in our control and make them stereotyped followers, then you will not have many people with you. You are going to have only a handful of people. And they will also be grudging. They will not work so well. They'll be unhappy. But if you are an empowering leader, you can have hundreds of leaders who will do your work for you and for the organization in a much larger capacity. Therefore, the servant leadership is found to be so effective. Nowadays, all across the globe, some of the most leading companies are using it. It's meant, even the name list of the names of companies are given, which are all employing this servant leadership. A servant can only become a leader if a leader remains a servant, he says. So how to remain a servant, you will understand very soon. I'm going to show you a slideshow. See, even James Sipe and Don Frick in their books, they say seven pillars of servant leadership. They say servant leaders are actually individuals of character. What is character? You know, the three pillars of trustworthy character are integrity. Integrity means to do what you have promised, not breaking your promise. Actually, honesty means to say what you will do. Integrity means to do what you said, which is more difficult. You know, to say what you will do is very easy. Many people say so many things. I will do this. If I have this, I will do that. There was one speaker who was telling, if you have two cars, give one car to others. He said, if you have two bikes, give one bike to others. So one man in the audience asked him a question. Sir, if somebody has two cows, then what should we do? That I cannot say, he said. Then later on somebody asked him, such a simple question he asked you, why you didn't answer? He said, because I already have two cows, he said, that's the problem. He said, so because I have two cows, if I say give one cow, then everybody will say, you have two cows, why don't you give one cow to the other farmer? Isn't it? So many people talk big things, but when it comes to doing, do we really do? Therefore, integrity means to keep the promise. And also, maturity. Maturity means balance between boldness and sensitivity, balance between courage and being considerate with others. So, like that. And non-envy, which means abundance mentality. So, these three constitute actually good character of a leader. And also, he puts people first, not the project first. Actually, which is important, people or project. For example, I'll give you a little example. You will immediately appreciate this point. Say a farmer had a hen which was laying golden egg. So he was very happy getting the golden egg. Only he had a little problem. Oh, every day I have to feed this hen and then it gives a golden egg. If I cut it, then I can get millions of eggs in one shot, he thought. Was he not a fool? Similarly, the employer in a company or any organization is like a boss, the farmer. And the employees are like the hen. And the eggs, golden eggs produced by the hen is compared to the output of good work. For example, in a company, the company CEO and other managers, they are employers. And the employees are the people working in the company. And their work output by which company makes profits, that is the golden egg. So most employers' eyes are fixed on the output, not on the people. Now, all of you in ABBP organization also, you all have a great good fortune of getting the Indian culture. In Indian culture, actually, we give a lot of weight to the people. Not just the, you will see, Indian culture is such a rich culture that in a, if you compare our Indian country to the other places, you find that in India, a husband, wife, children, and the husband's mother and father. This is one family. They stay very united and very peaceful, very happy. Therefore, they don't pose any burden on the government. On the other hand, in other countries where this culture is not there, many times the man impregnates a woman and goes away, then the woman has two, three children and she depends on the government for monetary support. Because they don't have such a very nice cohesive system of a family. So in India, we give way to the people. Money is not all important for us. Money is also important, but money is not everything. And also even in offices in India, you will see there is a family type of culture. People are very friendly with each other. This is all coming from Ramayana, Mahabharata. When you hear those scriptures, then that sinks in our heart like it did with Gandhiji. When such values sink in our heart, in our behavior, in our speech, in our dealings also, we become very, very friendly. And therefore, the Stanford University research showed that in India, the culture, family culture, the family spirit, sacrificing for a friend, these kinds of things are there, which actually makes people become responsible and committed and even lay down their life actually. So, in this way, the leaders are also supposed to be servant leaders. Like if you see, there was a great king in those days called Prithu Maharaj, just like Yudhishthira Maharaj. It is said, Prajanam Pitruvatsalaha, it is said. He treated the Praja like his own children. Like a father would treat his children as his own sons and daughters. Like that he treated the Praja. So this is the greatness of servant leaders. They always think of the members of the team as very important. And then if they take care of the people, and the people take care of the project. And that is the secret of servant leadership. You know, you invest time in taking care of the the hen. You take care of the hen very well. And the hen will keep on laying golden egg, one egg every day. You will be getting the results. But if you don't take care of the hen, you don't feed it, then the hen dies and golden egg is also gone. Isn't it? So, like here you say, that's why they are saying that individuals of character, they put people first, and skilled communicators, compassionate, collaborators, use foresight, and they're system thinkers. You know what is the meaning of system thinkers? System means, for example, I am doing something right now. After that, I want someone else to do it. So I keep dictating to him what all to be done. So he does. So every time that work is to be done, that fellow will call me and ask me, sir, last time you dictated me, can you dictate again? Every time I'll spend my energy. So we can put down everything in systems. Neatly. You say step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. And the variables and everything. And then you make a model of a system and hand over to him, hand over to one more, call 10 people and train them. Then when it is system based, even if you are gone, still things will go on. That's the beauty of the system. So therefore, one should be a system thinker always. And they exercise moral authority, not just a forceful, superficial authority. Moral authority actually means authority of character. So now I want to show you the other PowerPoint with 8 qualities. And those 8 qualities, they are all interrelated also. Why I wanted to show you that? Because I would like you to take something home with you, which you can contemplate about and think about how to apply in your life. Even some of those, if you apply, I can tell you, you will see a big change. Like here it says here, please read this. Leadership is about?
Leadership is about making others better as a result of your presence and making sure that impact lasts in your absence.
Read once more. Very important statement.
Leadership is about making others better as a result of your presence and making sure that impact lasts in your absence.
Which means, you make other people better than what they are right now. That means improve their excellence, improve their quality of performance, improve their intelligence, wisdom. So I have a very simple formula called TEEE. Train, educate, engage, and empower. And I did it. When I came to Pune, it was 1995, I came to the camp temple here. At the time, there were about 6-7 people in the temple. We had a small upcoming community of 100-120 people in the congregation outside the temple. So since then, I have been also reading many leadership things from the Mahabharata, Ramayana, and Srimad Bhagavatam. And I have been learning many tips practically and going to many corporate companies and giving some seminars also. Today, in Pune, we have one temple in the camp and one big temple in 6-acre land here in Kathraj Kondua. We have 6,000 members in our community, and we have celibate workers, some 150 to 200 people working, and we have about 3,000 students across the country who are all fully committed, very fully committed in the sense they are all working in companies. At the same time, they are committed to this cause of spreading the message of Gita to the other people. So what I used to do since early days was I was training the speakers of Bhagavad Gita. They would speak, I would sit behind, and I had a 10 criteria system on assessing their speech, and I would empower them to then learn it and then go out and speak. And this I have been doing for a couple of decades, I did, and hundreds of wonderful speakers came out of that. And eventually they became very confident to go out and present, and then they made groups of followers who faithfully followed Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, here he says here, leadership means we try to make others better. And even, as a result of your presence now, when we are absent, we can be sure that there will be a lasting effect. That means they don't just take it and then leave it. They should do it for their whole life. That kind of lasting impact we should give. Now, from here, I may need about 20 minutes. I want to know from the organizers, do I have 20 more minutes? You can see this one. See, when you become a leader, you can exercise your leadership in 3 ways. One is called coercive power. So this coercive power means they just catch people doing wrong. And they don't give any appreciation at all. And they feel that if I appreciate the subordinates, then they may become complacent in the work. They may not give so much work output. So most of the time they are busy finding out how I can set this right, how I can set that right. They are mostly like firefighting leaders. They are coercive power they apply. And there's expedient power. They dangle a carrot. They say, if you do this work, you will get that. I'll give you this carrot. It may be all right, but it's not always all right, because then every time the subordinates will look for something, some carrot in everything they do. Then there is legitimate power. Here is where what I told you, they are inspiring leaders. Actually, by dint of their character, by dint of their influencing authority, they actually bring up people. So it would be worthwhile for us to know how they are able to do that. That's a very important question, isn't it? How these legitimate leaders have such a power over certain people that the leaders consider, the subordinates consider them like a hero, a role model, and they are very inspired by them. They are ready to commit themselves for them. So what is it that they do? One of the things they do is they are very selfless. They are very extending. They are very sacrificing. And they are interested in the growth of their subordinates. They listen to their subordinates heart to heart, and they find out while I bring success for the organization, how can I ensure that I bring success for every individual member of the team also? They think about these things. Therefore, the subordinates actually value such leaders. I know there are certain friends of mine, they were working in a company. Although the company was paying them very little, very less salary, they were not ready to leave the company because they got a good boss, inspiring boss. So they said, see, in this company I have an inspiring boss. In that company I have a good fat salary. So they prefer to work under an inspiring boss rather than go to a fat salary. Especially organizations like ABVP now. If you see, many of you actually work for a selfless cause. You don't work for just money. Therefore, we need inspiring leaders whose presence will make... Because, you know, my situation was also very similar. Like, I'm a brahmachari. Now, imagine if I have to take care of 150 people under me in our monastery, and we don't pay a single penny to them. Because, you know, if you're paying some money, you can tell them, hey, if you don't do this work, I'll cut your salary. Here, these guys don't take salary only. Isn't it? So you just imagine how difficult it would be to get work done when you don't pay a single penny salary. Unless they're inspired, they won't do. Isn't it? So therefore, bringing out that inner inspiration is what is the essence of servant leadership. See, these are the 8 qualities, 8 attitudes, which if you practice, you are going to be a different type of leader, which is a servant leader. So, and all of them are connected also. For example, the first thing is you need to have the power to listen to people, because some people don't want to take any feedback from anybody. But if you only have that power to listen to other people patiently, see, God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth only. The 2 ears He has given, why? So that we can listen more and speak less. Before we can speak out to others to understand us, we can listen to others and understand them more. So that's the first one. Okay, now if you have the power to listen, you have the patience, then you will be available for them. Available means what? You call them or you go to them, make yourself available to them and say that I'm here, you please tell me, I'm ready to listen to you and I'll try my best to satisfy you. That is your humility. And when you have humility, then you can have tolerance. Why tolerance? Sometimes the subordinates will yell at us. They may not yell at us. They may be angry with certain things going on and they want to express it out. Like in our temple, we have a feedback system where anybody can write feedback to me along with the managers without mentioning the name. So whenever such feedback would come, some of the managers would get wild to find out who is that culprit who wrote the feedback. I would tell them, see, don't get on anyone's case. We are here to serve. Actually, they are writing feedback to us so that we can improve. And we have, and they said, Prabhu, we should stop the system because this, some of these fellows with grievances, they keep bluffing things and all. They said, I said, no, this is called constructive discontent. They are giving us ideas to improve. And if you are going to cut them down, then it is like, you know, making your conscience blind if you don't listen. So therefore, we need tolerance, especially when people are going to show outbursts. There are many companies you will see, like Motorola, Honda and all. In their company, they have a yearly once a day where all employees are allowed to write something on the paper and put it on the notice boards and improvement for the managers. And they have the right to suggest the managers how they want to see the company improved. I heard that one time employees were complaining about the bathrooms, that they are very stinking and unclean. And the managers were told to keep the bathrooms clean of the employees. They were not listening. Managers, lavatories, bathrooms were, spick and span, very clean. But the employees once was always stinking. So the CEO of the company was very smart. You know what he did? he made an announcement that January month, the manager's bathroom latrines will be used by them. And in February month, those bathrooms latrines will be used by the employees. And where will the managers go? They will go to the employees' ones. They will, every month they will swap like this. They will alternate months they will use. Like that he made a policy. And within a week he saw both bathroom latrines were thoroughly clean. Why? Because the moment the managers came to know, we have to use that other block for going to bathroom and latrine. When they went and saw that, then they realized, oh, this is the situation now. We have to really clean it now. Then they got it cleaned as it was, as they cleaned their own thing. Similarly, many of us actually think, you know, I want this. Okay, you are a leader, you want this, but do you worry about the needs of the subordinates? So therefore, we need tolerance to listen to them. And adaptability, And then when you have the tolerance, titiksha, And then we have adaptability, we will be adaptable. Adaptable means flexibility. Then we have the maturity. When we have maturity, we are ready to modify our thoughts. Okay, you are saying this and I said this. Okay, let us combine our ideas together and come up with a new thing. And then discrimination means what is right, what is wrong. Why his opinion appears to be better than mine, or why mine appears to be better than his. I don't want my opinion, not my way or your way, the best way. Like that. And then decision making based on that, with a good clarity of mind, without an ego. And then we have the ability to respond with courage, whatever is right, whether people like or not. You tell everybody, we have heard you all well, and we have put our thoughts, your thoughts, and we have combined thing, we have decided. Now, this is the final thing, we are all a team. We shouldn't say I, we should say we. So we should work together like this. And then that leads to team spirit. So now, each of these items I'm showing in one or two slides only with some examples. So why people don't have patience? The first one I told you. Why people don't have the power to listen? Likely that they lack compassion for others. And then some people think, I am the center of the universe. They don't think God is the center. They think themselves to be the center. And also due to modern day impersonal structure of the society, due to impersonal behavior, they don't care for the people. They care for, only commodities or only the currency. That's the problem. So because of which people don't have patience, or they think the members in a team are all inferior, they have to just do what I say. They don't have the ability to draw something good out of them. They don't have the patience. So, therefore, they only think about their own motivations. They don't think about employees. So, therefore, that is something to be learned in the this thing, servant leadership. See, here I have given some examples here. Constructive discontent. It's a big topic. When I go to companies, I elaborate more. But here I'm just showing you the slide here. It is actually a hotbed of creative ideas. If you let people bring up their feedback, they will give many new ideas which will be very helpful for us to polish what we have already planned. Like I told you the example of automobile. The man who is a CAD/CAM man and the man under the car. So when they both sit together with an open mindset, then they can come up with something very good. See, Philips company, I told you, Honda company, they have this listen, ask and speak up culture. They give even idea contests. If somebody suggests some good idea, they will be willing to give some prizes to them also. Now, that was the first quality. First quality was power to listen. As soon as you're ready to listen, you have the patience. Then comes the second quality, which is you make yourself available. You have the humility to be available. Otherwise, you will be absconding. If employees are raising a flag, or if a team members are saying, we are not happy with the decision, then we will be missing. We will just float a decision by email or something and we will be missing. But if you are willing, patient enough, then we will be available. But most of the people are not available. Either they are opinionated. Opinionated means they think my way or highway. Only we will do this and we don't want any other thing. That's another possibility is, No time. Busy. They're extremely busy. They have no time. So, our willingness to lend our ears can bring up new, revolution. So therefore, in order to change it, what should we do? MBMA, which means move, manage by moving around. That means meet the members of your team one-to-one and discuss with them. Be willing to listen. The kings would do that. Do you know that? Like the kings sometimes would change their veshbhush and then they would go in their society and find out, are people happy? Are they leading a moral life and spiritual life? Because the kings used to do three things. PAW, we call it. Protection, administration and welfare. Protection means they will curb the rogues and thieves by very strict law, by administration. And they would protect five people. The children, the women, the old people, the cows, and the teachers. Teachers who are teaching the Vedic wisdom. So they would protect these five types of people, the kings. So they would protect, they would administrate, and they would produce the welfare for all the people. Food, clothing, shelter, beginning with that. And then laying roads and, you know, making the trees and making temples and everything. So in this way, the kings, while doing all these things, they were in very much touch with the people's needs. They were aware. Not that the king is a drunkard, he's a womanizer, you know, he is enjoying the royal privileges and living in his own ivory towers. They were not like that. And they were down to earth, available to people, to serve the people, to keep God in the center and saintly people as good advisors. Like Shivaji Maharaj, you know, he had Samartha Ramdas as his advisor. Chandragupta Maurya had Chanakya as his advisor. And therefore, they got the right script or the right blueprint on how to make all the people in society happy and successful while living in this world. And then beyond death, how they can attain the perfection in the life. So, in this way, they were available for the people. You all know the Shibi Chakravarti's story. How a dove came flying to him and said, "Please save me, save me. This eagle is chasing me." So he took the dove and kept on his lap and said, "Don't worry, nobody can kill you. I swear I'll protect you." And the eagle came and said, "My dear king, you are saying that the dove is your citizen. What about me? Am I not your citizen?" And the king said, "Okay, I accept. You are also my citizen. Tell me, how can I serve you?" So the eagle said, "You see, I am very hungry. And I was chasing after the dove for my food. If you are not going to let the dove die, then you have to arrange for some other food for me. I need flesh to eat." So the king said, "Don't worry. Equivalent to the dove, I will give you my bodily flesh." So he brought a taraju. One side he kept the dove. Other side he cut from his own thighs and put the flesh. But then even after putting so much flesh, it was not enough. Finally, he himself sat in that side. And then it was balancing. At the time, all this eagle and dove, they all changed into devatas like Indra and other devatas. And they told, "Oh, king, we were just testing you. You are such a wonderful king that you are offering protection to your praja so well." So like this, there are many stories in our Indian history you will read about great kings who actually did not live for enjoying themselves. They lived for serving. They actually lived in alignment with God. Therefore, acceptance of God, alignment with God, acting for the pleasure of God, and acting on behalf of God. They followed all these four things. It was a God-centered society, and the kings understood that I am not God, or I am not the pivot of the society. I am only a servant. On behalf of God, I should actually be a love emitter for the people. And I should cause the least harm or least pain to other living beings. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu, sarve santu niramaya. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu, makaschid dukkha bhavavet. You see, let the wicked become virtuous. May the virtuous become tranquil. May the tranquil become free. May those who are free set others free. This is the Vedic formula. So we actually work for the happiness and welfare of all living beings with God in the center. So therefore, these people were available. Although kings were very big and in their position, they were actually down to earth available. There were kings who had a bell also. Anybody can come and ring the bell and report to the king. They were available. Yeah. And next one is the tolerance. So, especially when the situations are sometimes complex, sometimes there are team members having a tug of war. They have two different opposing opinions and they are quarreling, which is not a good thing. So then therefore we will need tolerance. Titiksha, we call it. And that's a very important quality for the leader. Because in turbulent situations, if you don't have tolerance, we break down. Then the whole team will suffer. For example, here I give an example. Titiksha is not get angry when we are personally insulted. And not harboring anger or hatred or malice towards the person who has insulted me. And not answering back but willing to listen. And not regretting for not having taken action. Some people actually tolerate at the spur of the moment. Later on, they say, I should not have tolerated at that time. I should have broken his teeth. You know, they feel like that later on. So, therefore, titiksha actually means tolerate, tolerance. Like you see a tree, a mango tree. So, you take a stone and hit the mango tree. You hit with one stone and mango tree gives you four mangoes back as a gift for you for hitting. Similarly, leaders are actually very tough in their heart. Like we say, when going gets tough, the tough get going. So they will be able to, they'll be willing to tolerate. And therefore, they become great. There's a very interesting saying. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. So if one can tolerate provoking situations, then something very great can come out. So through love, a leader empowers people. And in return, they are available to him when he needs them. And all are in the same boat. That means a leader and subordinate are in the same boat. So actually, these type of qualities can only come when we cultivate a spiritual quotient. One time, Gandhi happened to be in a ship. And one British man saw that this fellow is freaking out. He just wears a dhoti and doesn't wear any shirt also. And just wears a spectacles. So let me make this fellow angry and create a scene, he thought. So he drew some pictures of Gandhi looking like a monkey. And then he pinned them all together with a pin. And then he went and gave it to Gandhi. And down the deck he went and gave it and said, please go through it. I have given you something valuable. Keep it. Okay. He said and went. So when he was watching from the top. And then after some time he came and saw Gandhi had no papers in the hand. He asked him, where are the papers? Gandhi just showed the dustbin. So the man opened the dustbin, he did find his papers and he became angry. He asked Gandhi, you threw what I gave you into the dustbin. I told you I'm giving you valuable things. And Gandhi immediately opened his purse and showed the pin. This I found valuable, so I kept with me, he said. Which means what you drew and gave was useless, so I put it in the dustbin. So instead of Gandhi becoming angry, this fellow became angry, you see. So he was known for his such tolerance, you see. And adaptability. Like for example, in a circus when you see, you know, you've seen trapeze artists holding a rod like this. They go like this, go like this, go like this. At one point of time, you see them leaving that and then jumping to the other one. And then that side they go. You've seen that? They go for a few minutes and then they leave that and come this side. So all of you, you know very well, when you watch a circus, you would like to see when this fellow is shifting from that to this. Is it not true? That's what makes you fun. Similarly, leaders mean they are ready to change gears according to the need of the situation. We are not attached to one opinion. Oh, I am used to this. This is what we have been doing for so many years. This I cannot change it. No. Actually, now the times have changed. Like for example, many people were not ready for the online platform before. But now this pandemic has created a need. So we are reaching out online to so many people across the globe, isn't it? So that is adaptability and maturity. So in the international big 500 Fortune companies, they researched and found out that employees' wish list, if you see, it's not that employees want big money. First, they want recognition for their talent. Secondly, they want appreciation. Appreciation means a pat on the back for the good work done. And they want creative freedom, thirdly. And fourthly, they want money. More salary. Can you imagine? Money is only fourth. These three things are more important. Therefore, in servant leadership, people are given recognition and appreciation and creative freedom to grow. Okay, we can get employees involved at all levels, like family and participation and all that. Okay. And then discrimination. Okay, can a leader make mistakes? Yes. Leader can make mistakes and he will also learn from the mistakes and he will not commit the same mistake again. Even if he commits a mistake, he will only commit a new one next time. So that every time he commits a mistake, he will learn. It's not that leaders are stereotyped. They may do something new and they may fail also sometimes. Sometimes they may succeed also in decision making. And that is how the organization grows. So therefore, actually a leader, when he commits mistake, he doesn't cover up. He's not supposed to cover up. He is supposed to admit. And therefore you will find, actually I am not dwelling on these things because it will take a little while to complete it. And then there's decision making, and then responsibility, taking responsibility to make a final decision. This is about team spirit. This is the eighth one. See, empowering employees means they should feel good about the work that they are doing. They should feel good about the other employees. They should feel good about the organization for which they are working. They should feel good about the mission and vision of the leaders of the organization. Then they will be very healthy employees. If they are criticizing the leaders of the organization, or if they are criticizing their fellow mates, or if they are not happy about their own work that they are doing, they are not confident, then they won't actually succeed. Therefore, the team spirit means, you know, working together. You see, very surprising thing, Stanford University's research shows that 82% of the leaders fail due to inability to do team playing. They are unable to do team playing. 82% of the students, even passing out of the best of the business schools across the globe. You can see that. So, which goes to show that if we can put aside our ego and work together, together we can achieve more, you know. So, the kings, how they brought about a team spirit in society, Toshana means they gave sufficient food to the citizens. Food was never a scarcity thing in those days. And Prinana means if the citizens did some good things, successful things, they gave them gifts at appropriate times. And Upalalana means they would call regular meetings of the people and speak some words and good instructions to them. And Anushasana means giving instruction. And Upalalana actually means giving appreciation. And Prinana means giving gifts to them. So in this way, the kings actually made the whole society like one big family. And actually, the kings were selfless. Actually, we can only lead a very selfless and pure life, considering the welfare of others, because originally this comes from, this is rooted in the scriptures like Ramayana, as I told you. Like Lord Rama is told to go to forest for 14 years. His wife is not told to go. Although she was ready to come, initially Rama told her to stay back. Of course, Sita cried a lot and then she could make it with him. Lakshman was not ordered to go to forest for 14 years, but he went. You will see that Ram never demanded them to come with him. Still they went due to selfless attitude. Bharat wanted Ram to become the king. Ram wanted Bharat to become the king. They were not saying, I will become the king. They said, you become the king. That was a competition, but it was a competition of love. Similarly, the servant leader thinks about the employees, and employees thinks about pleasing the servant leaders. So that's how it works like that. Like in India also, you'll find parents think about the welfare of children. And the children always think about how to make the parents happy. Not that parents are thinking, hey, do something for me. And children are not saying, hey, parents, do something for me. It's not like that. So, I will stop here. I should take some questions. I have exceeded my time now. So, I don't know whether we have any time for the questions. If there is 5 minutes or 10 minutes for questions, I can answer questions. I don't mind. I have time. But it depends on our organizers. They have to tell us. Yeah. And they have time. You checked with them? No, question they have put. But about 10 minutes I can take, 5 minutes, you just check with him.
Sir, whether do we have time for questions? Sharad sir, you can... Yes, Guruji, we have. You can take question. Yes,
okay.
Yes, we have some time
okay.
for question answers.
Okay, please read out. Please read out the question, or you give it to me. I can see also quickly.
There is one question by one ma'am. Ma'am can ask first.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it muted?
We'll ask her to unmute. Ma'am, could you please unmute yourself?
Yeah, I can. I have a question, sir.
Hear you, yeah, please.
A very beautiful session, sir. I enjoyed it a lot. So my question is, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, yeah.
If a woman is leading a department, okay, and she has men subordinates, how should she lead?
Correct.
I mean, men are somewhat hesitating to work under a woman and don't want to listen to her. So how should she lead and how should she bring them into a team?
As I was telling you a few minutes ago, everybody has their interests, every individual. Whether you are a woman or a man at the top of the team, or if the team leader is concerned about the welfare of the people, if you can show to them that if each of you contribute your lot and bring success to the team, then ultimately you are going to be rewarded for that. So if they're convinced about it, then they don't care who is leading us, whether a man is leading or a woman is leading, because they know that, like, for example, see my hand. If this hand has got a laddu, so the hand can keep the laddu for himself, or the hand can put it in the belly. But by putting the laddu in the belly, the hand gets nourishment. So this is the example given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yata taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujo bashakha pranopahara chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvar hanamachyutejya. Two examples are given here. If all the parts of the body cooperate with the belly and they give the food to the belly will convert it into blood and circulate to all parts of the body and give them nourishment. But if all parts of the body say that why should we give it to belly, we will keep it with ourselves, then all the other parts of the body will get weak. In the same manner, in a tree, if you want to nourish the whole tree, you have to put water in the root of the tree. When you put in the root, then the whole tree gets nourished. Similarly, Lord Achyuta or Krishna, it says that if one serves God, then all the living beings become served. Similarly, if one, it's like the belly. Similarly, if you take a team, there's a team leader who is actually planning out something which is good for the company, which will also bring good for the team members. So if the team members cooperate with the team leader, and then they work together in an aligned way, and if they perceive results coming for personal goals are also fulfilled, then they are likely to cooperate. So oftentimes what happens, as I told you a few minutes ago, the company team leaders are often concerned about the company's goals. Their eyes are more fixed on that and not on empowering the people below them. Empowering the people includes not only salary alone, their opinions are heard and their skills are improved and they are respected, treated with dignity, and when they commit mistakes, they are forgiven, and they are given opportunity for growth. These kind of things are also considered as incentives, plus point for them. So if you work on these parameters, and if your members become pleased with your efforts and making them a success, then they are likely to work hard and bring success for you. You make them successful and they will make you successful. Is that clear? Yeah, I can't hear. Is it muted?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Yes, Keval Prabhu, any other questions? I heard few questions have come. Can I see them? I can give this one. I'll see and answer them quickly. Here are some questions. What means leadership and how to become a good leadership and approach to leader? Okay. Actually, there are two types of people in this world, leaders and followers. Leader means, how do you know somebody is a leader? Even in a classroom or a college, you will find there are some people who have some ideas, some vision. They have some goals, and then they talk to other people, and other people are ready to align with them, and they are able to take a group ahead. So in the Vedic times, the sages and saints would come together and choose a king who can be a leader. The first thing they would see, he should be a man of character. Because without character, imagine you put him in the leadership, he's drinking, smoking, and chasing after a woman, he can't be a leader. He should be a man of character. He should be a devotee of God. He should be a one who is concerned about the welfare of other people. And he has a very strong social cause. He actually wants to work for the welfare of all the people. And leading them all progressively in their life for three things. For material welfare, freedom from sufferings, and awakening love of God. All these three things is the goal of a leader, actually. In the Vedic times, the kings were chosen like that. Similarly, Mr. Mahesh is asking about, what do you mean by leadership? I was told that all of you are ABVP youth all across the country, and in future, imagine you are in one place like Pune, for example, you are in Aurangabad. So in Aurangabad, you have a group of ABVP youth, and they want you to take some lead in certain capacity. So you have to lead all the people in your capacity for achieving the ABVP goals. Is it not true? And along with that, if you are also, besides your IQ and EQ, you have SQ, or spiritual quotient, then you will become a very effective leader. How to concentrate on study and meditation as well as leadership? Yeah. Actually, we do a practice called as mantra meditation. And even in the Western world, there is a big talk about mantra meditation these days. There is one Dr. David Brian Wolf, who has conducted research on the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Even the Harvard University has researched also. Chanting the mantra and listening to the mantra attentively, gradually, like a lens focusing on a focal point. Like that, you get concentration over a period of time. And you will have a photographic memory naturally over a period of time because you attentively listen. And also the thought process becomes more mature, and you develop patience, you develop tolerance. Like we chant our mantras in a mala like this. This is a mala which I am carrying. And in this mala, we 108 manis are there. In each mani, we chant this mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you move the beads and go to the next one. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So while chanting, we try to attentively listen. So like in a lens, you see the diffused rays are all gathered and collected and then focused at a focal point. You can burn a paper or cotton. Like that, this mantra chant attentively over a period of time will give you perfect concentration, focus, and mind will be still very able to attend. Whatever you hear, like you are hearing a lecture today. Now if I tell you to write down some points from the lecture, you can reproduce 75% of what I spoke. If you are very attentive. So in this way, this is the meditation we do, and this for this age of Kali Yuga, this type of chanting is very quickly effective, like the Kali Santara and Upanishad says that. And how can we manage our mind's negative thinking? Good question. Yeah. Actually, there are four types of thoughts. There are positive thoughts, there are negative thoughts, there are routine thoughts, and wasteful thoughts. Positive thoughts means like joy, like happiness, like thoughts of compassion towards others, thoughts of respect, goodwill for others, good wishes. So the pure good thoughts. And negative thoughts means like anger or greed or lust or envy, these kind of thoughts. And routine thoughts means, what is my program today, what to do in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, my time planning and all that. And wasteful thoughts means worrying about the past, fearing about the future. This kind of wasteful thoughts, they get you nowhere. So in this, out of four thoughts, we want to keep two and remove two. We want the positive thoughts, we want the routine thoughts. These two are good for you. And the other two, negative thoughts and wasteful thoughts, we want to remove them. So how do you do that? For that, you need willpower. With willpower, you can remove the unwanted negative thoughts and keep only the positive thoughts. But how do we gain that willpower? Willpower requires determination. So how do you get the determination? Therefore, I was telling you a few minutes ago about chanting, chanting the mantra meditation. So actually, mantra meditation initially will be difficult when somebody tries to chant. Even after 10 or 12 mantras, you will think, oh, enough now. But if you chant 108 times, just sit in one place, anywhere, You don't need even a mala also with your fingers also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, like that. We chant like this 10, 10, 10, you count 10 times, it becomes 100. Then count 8, 108. Once in a day, you do 108 times and you do it for a week and you see for yourself how, you know, as you asked here, how the negative thinking will go away, because you are filling up your mind with the positive spiritual sound vibration. All the negativities will be driven out completely. It is like putting argon, xenon, krypton in a gas, in a vessel, you know, in a glass vessel. And because of that, all the oxygen will be driven out. Otherwise, creating a vacuum is a difficult thing. You can't create a vacuum in the mind by removing the negative thoughts. But if you put positive thoughts inside, spiritual thoughts like mantra meditation, they will drive out the negative thoughts. And also, you can also read like Bhagavad Gita, you know, Mahabharata, Ramayana. So the advantage of reading the spiritual literature is it gives you some direction in this life also and beyond death also. And these are all, even this Hitopadesha, Panchatantra, and also Chanakya Niti. So these are all giving a lot of valuable tips for our everyday life too. So that was a good question. Thank you. And here is a question. My question is how to control ourselves to of any distraction, and also how to handle our family's money situation. How can I be focused on my goals after a few days? I am so frustrated and I can't be focused. So focus is similar to the previous question. There is one added thing here, how to control ourselves of any distraction. In the modern time, the distraction level is very high due to smartphone, due to Wi-Fi and all these things. We get, and also too many things happening, and it's the age of knowledge explosion, information explosion. So we have to be very clear about how do we want to spend our time. What are our main goals in life? They're very clear about that. Write them down in a paper. Assess which is worthy, which is not. We do that actually. People like myself, I have a very good time planning. Night I sleep at 8:30. I get up at 2:30 in the morning. And I have my reading hours in the morning before 4:30. Then 4:30 to 9:30, we have a well laid out program. And in the daytime, we prepare PPTs, you know, prepare materials, books and everything. And we have a time when we go to America. We have a time when you go to different parts of India. My calendar is prepared 1 year before. Like in December, my next year calendar is fully ready. It's filled up and it's put online also. Any other people who invite me for programs, they can go there and see it. So we have to have a very good time management planning in order to avoid getting distracted by too many things that pull us from different directions. So in the modern times, we can get distracted by too many things. Actually, we have a very good training program, both for the college students and for the corporate people, as well as for the families too. I was telling you about the programs happening in this temple here. I can give you one very easy to remember link. DYS. It stands for Discover Yourself. DYS.RadheshyamDas.com. You can go and see that. There are many nice lessons put up there. You can see. Also, I have a YouTube channel in that. If you go to Behavioral Science for Youth, in my YouTube channel, go to the playlist. In the playlist, Behavioral Science for Youth. So there are more than 50, 60 topics relevant to students on how to avoid distraction, how to manage the mind, anger management, time management, everything is given there. So it's in Radheshyamdas devotional videos, and there you can go to Behavioral Science for Youth playlist. And tell me something important about Atmanirbhar Bharat. This is Rathod ji from Jalgaon. Actually, I do not know where is this particular word from. I do not know. But one thing is for sure, our country is not an ordinary country. Bharat is actually a Punya Bhumi. So there it is based on a lot of values. Like for example, the humanism in India and the respect for mother, womanhood. In the same manner, the respect for the fellow beings, treating everybody as a child of God, garden center. So India is actually a value-based country. and also like a self-sufficient country. And we are taught the principle of satisfaction and best utility of even the simplest of the commodities. In India, if somebody uses a toothpaste, till the last bit of the toothpaste, they will not throw it. Similarly, if they have a cloth, you will see that if they are using a t-shirt, if it has become very, this thing, they'll remove it, use it as a towel until it is completely gone. So you will see that our country is based on such values. So when subordinates give their opinions and leaders listen to it carefully, but if the opinion is not so useful, and sometimes we create more problems, and everyone's opinion is different in subordinates. So if leader accepts one subordinate's opinion and rejects other person's opinion, and then some feel hurted and develop perceptions about the leader. So how should we deal situation? Good question, Raju from Sri Dhruva Academy. Brilliant question it is. Yeah. Actually, many people are happy if their opinions are heard and not even implemented. They feel their ego is satisfied that you have heard them. So what I generally do, although I know what is to be done many times, I know this is the best decision, still I call for a meeting and everybody puts their opinion on the table. And I don't decide. I tell them all only to decide. So they come up with the 2-3 of them. After hearing 7-8, they come up with 2-3. Then with those 2-3, I still churn it further. And when they ask me, Prabhu, you only decide. Now we are happy with any one of the three. Then I decide one. So actually, it's all a question of giving respect to the people and be willing to listen. And you cannot tell them on the face your opinion is useless or it will create more problem or something. You can't tell them, but we can keep it in the mind. You can know it. But if they're heard, they'll be happy. Good question. So I think I've answered. I think one last question here. What is this? What thing connects human and nature? Is it just because of dependence of human body with nature? Can you suggest a practical book connecting the existence of life and spiritual science, consisting experiments? Is there any lab out there where people can study, experiment about spirituality, how to get close towards truth? Shivam is asking, what I believe is everything we see. What I believe everything we see is perspective of not null truth. Okay, it's a big question. I understand your question. And your goal of life, you asked very good questions. Brilliant question. So now I will not take any more questions because regarding your question in general, I'll tell you Bhagavad Gita is such a book. It's a very scientific book. Based on Bhagavad Gita, I have compiled 4 books. One of them is called as Discover Yourself, then Your Best Friend, Your Secret Journey, and Victory Over Death. So these books are available. Shivam, if you are in Pune, in Kathraj Kondwa, I am available. And also, I am available if you want to know more. We have a voicemedia.pune. Hey, voicemedia.pune? @gmail.com. voicemedia. voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. I can send you the PDF files of those books. You can see them. So, how to deal with leaders or boss in corporate life where he always dominates, always bullies the people under him. And if you behave polite, humble, honest to him, he takes advantage of it and exploits more. How to deal with him? I understand, yeah. So, some bosses cannot be changed. Like what cannot be cured must be endured, it is said. You try to see the element of what he wants you to do and stick to that and do it and submit your results. And don't expect that person to change. By your good behavior, you can influence him to change a little bit. You can do that. Some people are born with certain swabhava. Swabhavas are not easily changed. It's like a dog's tail. They may not change. But you can learn from him not to behave like that with your subordinates. That's one lesson you learn. Another thing you learn is, why is this fellow shouting? What does he want from me? Am I doing the best to please this fellow so that he'll be peaceful? Like that we can think. If there is any confusion while doing work, how to overcome that confusion? Yeah. Actually, you need a mentor. We all need a mentor in our life. Like I consult my mentor also. If I cannot decide something concretely, we can consult those who are expert in the field. If you want to consult 2-3 of them and then take an opinion and then finalize. If anyone thinks that he or she is not a good person and he or she hurt everyone and lose all his or her self-confidence, then how can she react and how the person can improve self-confidence. Good question. Very nice. So, I will tell you very simple formula for this. Those who are senior to you, you be jolly to receive them and respect them. Those who are equal to you, you befriend them and share your ideas with them and listen to their successes and all. Those who are junior to you, be compassionate to them, kind to them, helpful to them. Like that. Instead, what people generally do, if somebody is senior to me, I become envious of them. I try to, prove to them I am great. Or if somebody is my friend, I brag about my greatness or boast about my greatness. And if somebody is junior to me, I may ridicule them or crush them or something. So in this way, because of such behavior, the interpersonal clashes take place. Guna adhikan mudam lipset anukrosham gunadhamat maitrim samanadan vichen natapai ravi bhuyate. You will not have any interpersonal clashes, this shloka says. When guna adhikan mudam lipset, if somebody is superior to you, you be jolly to receive them. Anukrosham guna adhamat, somebody is inferior to you, be compassionate to them. Maitrim samanadan vichen, those who are equal to you, be friendly to them. You will not suffer any interpersonal clash, he is saying. How can you apply these leadership guidelines in day-to-day life? So now I can share this PowerPoint which I made with one of your organizers, and they can share with all of you, and you can go through it leisurely, and you start implementing whatever best you can, little by little. That's how we begin it. And I have a website called leadershipvoiceindia.com. Leadership Voice India, and sorry, Leader's Voice, correct, no? LeadersVoiceIndia.com. So you can go there, you will find many interesting things there. You can get tips for implementation, okay? How to become powerful knowledge in leadership. Yeah. Actually, our knowledge increases by reading wisdom literature. Like I have been, as I told you, I have been studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Other books like Mahabharata, Ramayana, and Chanakya Niti, all of them. We keep reading them, understanding them, applying them in our lives. Gradually, our knowledge base increases. How we apply chapter 2, verse 47 in modern life? Here, one Akash has asked. Actually, every verse of Bhagavad Gita can be applied in our modern life. But you have to learn from the teacher, as 4.34 verse says in Bhagavad Gita. How you apply each teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, that itself we have to learn from Bhagavad Gita. I show the verse. You can show this one. See, here the verse, you can show them this verse. You're showing that? This is the verse the student was asking about. Karmanneva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahetur bhur ma te sangostva karmani. So, the meaning of this verse is very simple. Do your best and leave the rest. That's the meaning of this. For example, if you're a student, karmanneva adhikaraste, you have the right to study. But ma phaleshu kadachana, don't worry about the result, we say, isn't it? So, now how can a student not worry about the result? So, what is the meaning of this? You study well, and when good results come, give the credit to God, because God gave you the brain. Even Einstein did not create his own brain. God gave Einstein brain, is it not? Did he create his own brain? So we should give the credit to God for that. That's the meaning of this. You don't take the full credit yourself. You made some efforts, but God gave you the brain. That's the meaning of this. In this way, gradually it will lead us to Karma Yoga and eventually Bhakti Yoga. So I thank all the organizers for the valuable time. that you all took out today and participated in this seminar very enthusiastically. Actually, whatever I speak is all based on the wisdom literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, as I told you, applied in the company terms, companies and corporate circles, and as well as for students also. So I speak on leadership. I took a course in the I2 IIT College. 4-session course, each 1.5 hours on leadership and time management I took. So, I prepared some of those topics here. So, I shared with you today. I feel you might have found it interesting and some tips valuable for your everyday life. And you are all most welcome to visit us at Kathrej Kondwa New Vedic Cultural Center when the lockdown is lifted. And I I wish you all success in all your earnest endeavors. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.